is a life-changing message by the Reverend Sam Crunchy Ankara.
Galatians chapter 5. Read verse 4 with a loud voice. Ready? Go. Add verse 3 and then we'll come verse 4. Ready? Go. 4. I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law, now ye are falling from grace. Verse 5, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. The Amplified Version is interesting. I once more protest and testify to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation and bound to practice the whole of the law and its ordinance. If you therefore seek to justify yourself and declare self-righteousness and to be given a right standing with God through the law, then you have brought to nothing and so separated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace, from God's gracious favor and unmerited blessing. For we, not relying on the law, but through the Holy Spirit's help, by faith anticipate and wait for the blessing and good for which our righteousness and right standing with God, for conformity, our conformity to his will in purpose, thought, and action, causes us to hope. Now, Galatians chapter 5, verse 4, gives us one of three definitions of grace, which I will be discussing with you. Now, in this verse, the Apostle Paul accuses the Galatians that after having accepted Jesus by faith and having been cleansed by the blood, having begun so well, how come that now you are teaching circumcision? That circumcision brings salvation. Who has bewitched you, oh foolish Galatians? Who is bringing this doctrine? We are saved by grace and by our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and not by physical works, inclusive of circumcision. Now he explains to them, the moment you start talking about circumcision, then you have separated yourself from the work of God which was completed and established on your behalf. Number two, you are now operating by law. If that be the case, then you are going to operate by law always in your life. Also know that you have then fallen from grace and you are falling from righteousness. So grace also means righteousness and grace means acceptance. To be accepted and to have right standing with God comes by grace and not by your works nor your effort. It simply takes your faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross to receive the grace to be called righteous. Number two definition of grace is ability and enablement. Divine ability and divine enablement. So grace, definition two, is that which gives you the strength to do things that the ordinary man cannot do. Grace is the one that gives you the push and the edge to move on when the going is tough and you are being discouraged and you feel like giving up and you are saying you won't do it again. 1 Kings chapter 19, we see Elijah, the prophet of God, having called fire from heaven in chapter 18 of 1 Kings. And then in chapter 19, a Jezebel, a witch, comes and says, may God do so unto me and more so, if tomorrow about this time, I don't kill you like you have killed one of the some of the 700 prophets of Baal. I will kill you like you have killed them. Then this Elijah with all his anointing began running away from Jezebel. And then not only did he run away, he was so discouraged and he was so heart-fainted, he began to ask God that he wanted to die. And then he said, God, kill me. I want to die. I am too frustrated. I'm too fearful. Then God said, this man needs a divine provision. He needs the grace to continue. And here was the grace. He slept under a tree, crying, hoping that by the time day would break, he would be dead and gone. When the day broke, he hadn't died. An angel came and touched him and said, there is a cake and there's some water here. Drink and eat, for the journey is long. When he ate and drank, the Bible says he walked the journey 40 days and 40 nights. Now, question. Have you seen any cake and any water that you eat and drink and then you can go with that food for 40 days, 40 nights? There is no cake. And there's no water that you eat and drink and go 40 days and 40 nights, except it be sent from above. Except it has a divine providence. Except it has some energizing anointing from God to sustain and to keep you. So when the going gets tough, you need a divine provision to keep you going. Today I came here to tell you, when you have been discouraged, your business has come to a place, you don't feel like pushing anymore because this business keeps failing and failing. This marital problem, you have gone to counseling, your parents, your uncle, his uncle, everything, it's not solving. You feel like giving up. I came here by the word of God in my mouth to tell you, you are not going to quit. You are not going to give up. Some divine grace and enablement and strength is coming upon you. And somebody say, I'll finish the race. I didn't hear you say it again. I will finish. You will finish. You are not going to quit. Oh, you won't quit. Quitters don't win. Winners don't quit. And quitters don't win. They that complete the show, they are winners. You are going to complete it. Oh, yeah, hear me. I said, you will finish it. And I know that my God, he will give me divine enablement. I will finish it. You failed once, twice. Don't you worry. God is with you. What you need is divine enablement. Here's the third definition of grace. The third definition of grace, you get it from Paul's grace, which he normally shares. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. What it means, may the favor of God and the presence of God and the hand of God be with you wherever you go. Who said that you don't need God's presence? Who said you don't need God's favor? Who said you don't need the hand of God? Who told you that? You need it. Come with me to Genesis chapter 6, verse number 5. See what the grace did to Noah and his generation. Genesis chapter 6, verse number 5. Read with a loud voice so you can keep yourself alive. Genesis 5, 6, 5. Ready? Go. And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. At verse 6, go. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. And it grieved him at his heart. Verse 7, read it again, go. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. No, watch. He's going to destroy what? And then what? Huh? What has the beast done? Did the beast also sin? And God said, I will destroy both man that I have created from the face of the earth. Both man and the beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. Verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of God. But Noah found, read it again, read it with a loud voice. Somebody today, I want you to pray for this grace. Because when you find this grace, God will come in his anger and destroy everybody, but the grace of God will preserve you and save you. Are you hearing what I am saying? So grace does not give only enablement, and grace is not only righteousness, and grace is not favor and the mercy and the goodness of God, but grace is a vehicle that ensures your total emancipation. Even when God is angry and God wants to destroy, grace will exempt you from divine judgment. And Noah found grace in the sight of God. And God said, I will destroy man and beast and animals and creepy things. Now I asked you a question you couldn't answer. I said, the dog and the chicken, what did they do? When God makes man, God gives man provisions to ensure your comfort. Like your car, like your house, like water, like good health. When you fall out of grace, or you dishonor the grace of God, or you come to a place and you don't respect God anymore, not only does God get angry with you, but he takes away also that which he has made for comfort. So he said to man, Look at these men. I have given them birds of the air. I have given them fishes of the sea. Look at all that I have given them, and they will still not honor me, and they will still not respect me. I will destroy them, and I will destroy what I have made. Now hear what God does. When Noah found grace, first he was exempted from judgment. Not only that, but Noah, God also reserved a male and a female species of all the things that he destroyed. He reserved some for Noah. How do I know? Chapter 8, verse 20. Chapter 8, Genesis, verse 20. Chapter 8, verse 20. And Noah built an ark, an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast, and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings unto the altar. After the flood, Noah began to give God an offering on the altar using the very birds and the very clean beasts that God had destroyed. Where did Noah get this? God preserved. Now, here's a revelation. Anytime God gives you something, that thing becomes God's preservative for your life, and in time, he will ask you to come and sacrifice that thing. You dare not ever, when it is time to sacrifice money, it's time to sacrifice your time, it's time to sacrifice something, to tell yourself the thing is yours, you won't give it to God. That would be the most damaging mistake that you can ever do in your life. Never, 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 never. What God preserved for Noah now became the symbol of sacrifice on the altar. And he built the altar, and then he sacrificed. Now God preserved them so that in due season, it will be preserved. What you have has been preserved by God, that God will ask you in due season to put it on the altar, that it will be sacrificed unto the Lord. Not only that, then God said, the Bible says, and God, verse 21, and the Lord smelled the sweet savour, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite anymore everything living as I have done. Now, some sacrifices, not only will God smell and receive, but some sacrifices will also cause God to make certain pronouncements and covenant and say that this sacrifice has touched me. For your sake, I now release men to come and marry the women. For your sake, nobody will be failing examination in your house anymore. For your sake and your sacrifice, there is nobody who will start building a house and will die anymore. For your sake, you too, your people who have traveled must begin to come home, because it's been a long time now. Because of you and your sacrifice. So some sacrifices can cause God to make certain covenant statements and to enter into some covenant relationship with you. Are you here? Are you understanding what I'm saying? You lift up your hand and say, Father. Say, Father, I will give you a sacrifice that will touch your heart and bless me. Now, that kind of sacrifice, which is placed on the altar, is called olah sacrifice. The Hebrew word olah, I will be explaining to you very soon, is called an olah sacrifice. Now, let me explain to you what an olah sacrifice is in Leviticus chapter 1. Leviticus chapter 1, olah sacrifice. And the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him. Now, listen to that. This is Leviticus. And chapter 1, I would have expected God to start this chapter with salvation, with some healing, miracle, deliverance. God opens the chapter by talking about offering. Offering. Sacrifice. Why? Because your miracle and the deliverance you are looking for are all tied to your obedience to what God teaches you in Leviticus chapter 1. Look at the opening. And the Lord called Moses and spake unto him and said, out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, verse 2, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. Verse 3, if his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. Without blemish. So here is the description of the sacrifice. One, it must be without blemish, and then it must be done voluntarily, And it must be presented on the altar at the tabernacle. So God describes three things about the kind of sacrifice that he receives, the kind of sacrifice that he honors. It must be without blemish. Clean. 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 Can I suggest to you what an offering which is not clean? When you sit in trotro, the change that they give to you and the coins and those wrinkled things that you come and throw into the face of God. Can you stop that? Let me show you another offering which is not clean. Saturday, you start planning the dress you wear to church. Some of you go to the extent of ironing because of power outages and so on and so forth. So Sunday morning, you just wake up and then you wear your dress. Why is it that your offering, you don't set your offering aside? Why would you ever come to church and then you start now looking for the offering in your pocket? That's an wholesome offering. You didn't prepare for it. Your sacrifice must be without blemish. It must be done voluntarily. And then you must bring it onto the altar of the congregation of the assembly. Verse 4. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, that is the goat, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. Lay your hands upon the goat and say, "Goat, today you are going to die in my place. So all my sins, fornication, stealing, adultery, fighting, I put everything on you. Die in my place." And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord. And the priests and Aaron's sons shall bring the blood. Now, when they cut the thing, then the priest's sons will bring bowl and they start collecting the blood. The blood is so precious that in any sacrifice where there is no sweat and blood, any sacrifice you give to God which does not affect you, there's no blood in that kind of sacrifice. That is why in killing that bullock, the people must be about 3-4. The reason, one person cannot kill this. If the sheep by chance loses itself, it will start running amok. People are in trouble. He will hit some people. The blood which is needed for the sanctification will start being sprinkled about. So you need strong macho men. Hold this sheep and then cut it. And then the thing will start struggling with you. And then the blood will just be dropping like that. And then the thing will run just cool. And all this while you are standing there, you are watching. What you are supposed to go through, the sacrifice is going through for you. Just so that you can be accepted. Just so that you can obtain righteousness. Just so that you can obtain God's favor. Just so that God will smell a sweet aroma. And if there is a curse to destroy you, he will say, "From today, your sacrifice has touched me. I will not curse you and your household anymore. Your sacrifice can do that which you are not able to do." That is the power of sacrifice. And the goat and the sheep will do that. After that, they say, sprinkle the blood upon the altar. And then after that, verse 6, cut the meat into pieces. Put the fat and the meat, apportion them. You know what? It must be cut into pieces. Once you give your sacrifice, you have no authority to go back to Reverend and say, "Reverend, I gave you the church $10 million, $10,000, so I'm coming for it." You will not even identify it because the thing has been cut into pieces. So show me how you can identify your goat. Cut into pieces. Disfigure it. You will not see it again. The thing is gone forever. And then after that, they said, and he shall flay the burnt offering and cut into pieces. Verse 7. And the sons of Aaron, the priest, shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon it. After all that, they will set fire and the thing will start burning. Poor, innocent goat who did not sin. You sinned. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. That is the kind of grace you are trampling upon. That's the grace. Verse 8. And the priest and Aaron's son shall lay the parts and the head and the fat in order. Blah, blah. Verse 9. And the inward part, that is the intestines and the legs, shall be washed with water. And the priest shall burn all the altar, a burnt sacrifice and an offering by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Now, question. Rigorous activity, this violent activity of killing an innocent sheep, removing the skin, removing the fat, cutting off the legs. And after that, you go back and you start fornicating so that you bring another sheep. Wow. Only sacrifice. Sacrifice on the altar. The Bible says, and in due course, Cain brought his offering to God and Abel brought his offering to God, and God had respect for the offering of Abel, but Cain, he did not have respect. Now, why will God respect some sacrifices and he will not respect some other sacrifices? Number one. Number two. And so God accepted Abel and his offering. And so when God is accepting offering, he accepts offering in two ways. First, the offering itself, and then the person. So he accepted Abel and his offering. God has been rejecting some offerings and some sacrifices and some people. From today, I want you to know, anytime you have an opportunity to present a sacrifice, God has the choice to accept you and then the offering. Sometimes you accept the offering and reject you. Sometimes you accept you and reject the offering. But for Abel, him and his offering too were accepted. Now, no, question. Question. Why did Cain become jealous of his brother Abel? Because God had respect for his offering and accepted his offering and so on. How do you know that God accepted his offering? Two ways. One, in those days, fire will come down from heaven and come and consume the sacrifice. So you see the smoke going out. But furthermore, Abel began to prosper. And so Cain began to be envious and jealous of him. And so he killed him. And now God comes and said, there you are cursed with a curse. From today you become a vagabond and you go from place to place. You have no home. You have no resting place. You struggle. You suffer. Now, why would you like to suffer in your life just because of a sacrifice? Why? God preserved that thing for himself. And you are choosing to take away from God what he preserved. He gave it to you to preserve. That's a big mistake. Come, let me prove to you Genesis chapter 22. Watch me, this one. Abraham was going to sacrifice with his son Isaac. And then two men. Please, Isaac, come. Two bodyguards. And then they were going. And then they got to, then Abraham said, stay here. I and Isaac will go and sacrifice. I and Isaac will go yonder. I and Isaac. Church, hear me. The Isaac that he said he was going to sacrifice with actually was the one that was going to be sacrificed. So now, question. How come that Isaac is involved in the sacrifice? Because every sacrifice has two dimensions and two parts. One, the one who is giving the sacrifice, and then the sacrifice itself. God accepted Abel and his sacrifice. And so God said, Abraham said, I and Isaac will go and sacrifice. And Isaac knows spiritual things. And then once on the way, he said, Daddy, I see we are carrying the firewood. And then we also have the matches. And in fact, the kerosene is in my bag over here. Where is the lamb? Where is the sacrifice? Where is the lamb? Where is the sacrifice? Now the sacrifice was now speaking. The sacrifice was not talking. Where is the sacrifice? Where is the sacrifice? Then Abraham prophesied and said, God will provide.
Can I let you know something that has been happening in the realms of the spirit and you didn't know, and from today you are going to check it? Number one, anytime you take your tithe and you decide to divert the use of your tithe, rather than bringing it to the altar, say you are owing the cloth seller, and the cloth seller has been harassing you. So instead of bringing your tithe, you decided to use the tithe to go and give to the cloth seller, so that the cloth seller will stop harassing you, promising God that next month you will pay double. Because after all, you've been taught that when you miss your tithe for one Sunday, for one month, the next month you can add your 20% to it. So you bring your tithe and add 20%. Praise God. That tithe which found itself into the hands of the woman selling cloth will be talking the whole of the month. Why ever did you go to church without me, Mama? I was supposed to be for the altar. And look at where I am. I am in the coffers of a certain woman selling cloth. I don't belong here. My tithe must go to the altar. Where is the lamb for your sacrifice? Some offerings will be talking. When it is time for offering, and you put your hand in your pocket, and then you take what you require, and then keep away God's preservation, which he meant for you to give for offering, spiritually, the offering starts talking. Why are you leaving me here? Please, don't leave me here. I don't belong here. I came with you so that we worship together. Please, let me go. Oh, please, let me go. Please, let me go. Please, let me go. Your offering will be crying. Which mountain did God show Abraham? They call it Mount Moriah. Mount Moriah. The sacrifice was going to take place. He went there. When they got there, he just knocked and dazed Isaac. Isaac just fell. He took the knife. He was going to. And then God said, Abraham, stop. Now I know that you love me. You love me, Abraham. Now, oh, Abraham, I don't know what to do with you. I will bless you. Now watch. There is a ram there. I have provided myself for a ram. I have provided myself. Abraham, no, take note. That ram there is not for eating. It's for sacrifice. I reserved it for myself. Take it and sacrifice. God kept it for himself. God kept it for himself. That was his Isaac. That was his sacrifice. And then killed it. What happened on that mountain? Another violent sacrifice. First of a human being. Then second of an animal. Fire coming down, consuming it. And God says, I love anything that has sweat and pain. I love it. I love it. I love it. But Abraham, you have challenged me. 2,000 years, I will return. And on this same mountain, I, God, I'll come and do my show. Abraham, you have done your show. But I will also return. And here was what God did. First, God raised a man called Solomon. Solomon built a temple on that mountain. And then people saw God's glory. On that mountain, he put 1,000 sacrifices. Another day, 120,000 sheep. And then 22,000 cattle. He put it there. And God appeared to him and said, on this mountain, in this house, people will call upon me. I will hear them. I will deliver them. I will, oh, Jesus Christ. And then years later, the Babylonians came and destroyed that temple. God said, I will not allow my glory to be taken away from this mountain. And then God raised a man called Zerubbabel. And then during the days of Ezra, and Zerubbabel rebuilt the temple. And the Bible said the glory of Zerubbabel's temple was more than the glory of Solomon's temple. And so you can imagine the miracles which were happening in Zerubbabel's temple. Over the years, the temple got deteriorated again. A man called Herod rose up and then he renovated the temple. But Herod did not use the temple for the purpose for which God raised Mount Moriah. Mount Moriah becomes the altar where sacrifices take place, where miracles happen. The Herod's temple became a temple for thieves and for den of thieves and money changers and sellers of sheep and goats. Then Jesus Christ came one day. He said, how dare you people come and turn the house of the Lord into a den of thieves and robbers and sellers? He whipped all of them. He whipped and cleansed the whole place with the rod and the iron of the Lord. And then Jesus Christ said, I am returning the glory of God into this place. This house and this temple shall be used, the purpose for which God made it. And then Jesus Christ began to work miracles again in that temple. The blind saw in that temple. The cripple walked in that temple. Issue of blood was saved in that temple. Great miracle began to happen in that temple. Now, listen to what happened. Do you know that during Jesus' when he was going to be crucified, he was crucified very close to that same mountain, Moriah. That same mountain. So guess what? The Abraham sacrifice was Jesus Christ's picture. The Noah sacrifice was a photograph of Jesus. The Moses Ola sacrifice was a picture of Jesus Christ. The David Ola sacrifice was a picture of Jesus Christ. Solomon Ola sacrifice was a picture of Jesus Christ. Moses, name all of them. All of them gave Ola sacrifices. Burnt offerings with violent killings. Shedding of blood. And then God said, Jesus, you are my lamb. Every lamb must be sacrificed. Every lamb must die. You are going to die not because you are the sinner. You are going to die for someone. You are going to exchange your life for someone. Anyone that will believe in your blood and the shedding of this blood, that person shall be delivered. That person shall be saved. That person shall obtain righteousness. That person shall obtain grace. That person shall obtain favor. Jesus, you are the one. In other words, you cannot, after Jesus has died, go and bring another goat and another sheep. You can't do it anymore. That's why you cannot live here and go back to sin. That's why you must give up that relationship with that sugar daddy. You must give that relationship up. That's why you must force yourself and go and reconcile with that person who is quarreling with you. That's why you must do whatever you can do to say fornication and adultery is no more. Because somebody died a violent kind of death. You know how he did it? They nailed him to the cross with some rusty nails. Stripped him naked. Put a metal crown on his head. Hit it and the blood was just coming. They stretched him and gave him 39 lashes. And the hook that the rope that they used had a hook at the end. And for every lash, they pull it this way, tearing the flesh at his back. That's the kind of sacrifice somebody went through for you to walk in grace. How dare you can come to church and you don't want to worship? You don't want to pray? How dare you come to church when you want? How dare you refuse to witness about Christ to someone? How dare you think that you can do whatever you want? How dare you think you can bring any sacrifice at all? Any offering at all? Who told you? Whoever told you that?
Just as I am without, you know that song, by the blood
you shed for me on the blood is weaker to me. I am expecting some healing to take place. All I want you to do is to find opportunity and come to this Mount Moriah. Come and place your sacrifice, which I'm going to show you what sacrifice that is. And God accepted Abel and his sacrifice. God respected, God honored Abel and his sacrifice. Today you want to obtain some favor from God. Ah, it must come upon you and upon your sacrifice. May God shine upon you and give you a miracle this week. May your sacrifice be accepted and be received in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. God bless you. God bless you. May God bless you. May God bless you. May you be a winner. May you be a conqueror. May the enemy never be able to prevail over you. May you walk in signs and wonders. Your healing be established. May deliverance be your portion. Righteousness be your portion. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. May God bless you.
Believe and declare the words of the Lord. Amen. I shall not die. Believe and declare the words of the Lord. Amen. I shall not die.
It is our fervent prayer that this message will have an effect on your life and will lift you to the place where you belong. Royal House Chapel International, touching our generation with the power of God. God richly bless you.
Ancient words will guide.